This show is intended for informational purposes. You should consult your healthcare professional before starting any type of diet or workout program. Welcome to Under 10 Fitness with your host, Drew Smith. Real conversations with real people that really works. Reach your goals faster without the gimmicks. Get ready for a healthy dose of veggies and iron with Under 10 Fitness.
What's up and welcome to Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. This is the show where we have honest conversations about health and fitness. No gimmicks, no fads, no saran wrap body wraps or fancy fat loss pills. My name is Drew Smith. I'm a personal trainer, a competitive powerlifter, and I have this curiosity to learn as much as possible about health and fitness, and this is where we have those conversations. Today we're going to talk about concussions, the current protocol, possible changes that could be made to make the rehabilitation process for concussions better, and then even some ways to prevent and prevention of concussions. In the studio are the folks from HPR, that is the Human Performance and Rehabilitation Center here in Colorado Springs. There's a lot of people in the room, so I want to go around and introduce everybody and find out their role at the clinic. I'm going to start with Dr. Dave. Welcome in, and what is it that you do at HPR?
My role is I'm the neuropsychologist, and so I will do assessments of individuals that come into the clinic to diagnose a concussion, and then also we'll do a fair amount of a variety of assessments. So we will do an assessment of baseline functioning. We think it's very important for all athletes to have an understanding of their brain functioning and an assessment of that that measures all the important areas. So we look at immediate memory, delayed memory, language, attention, and visual abilities. And so we can get a baseline. So if there's ever an injury, then we can determine the extent of the injury and the specific areas of brain functioning that have been impacted.
So are you like the first stop when somebody comes in and has a problem, they come see you first?
Yes. Yes. When they are suspected that they've had a concussion, yes, I'm the first stop.
Now, how did you get over there at HPR, and what was your career leading up to this point?
Well, it's a very interesting story. Last summer, I got a call. I was the dean of the School of Professional Psychology at University of the Rockies, and I got a message on my voicemail from a Ben Berlinson that said, "We are looking for a neuropsychologist. Is there somebody at University of the Rockies that can do that?" And it just so happened he was also the soccer coach for my son in high school. And so he didn't make the connection just because he was thinking University of the Rockies. And so then we connected. And I've done a lot of neuropsychological assessment in a variety of contexts for about 15 years. And so that's really how I got involved with them.
All right. Well, we're glad you're here. And we're just going to go around the room and talk to everybody. And next to you is Coach Pat. So welcome in.
Hey, thanks very much. Good to be here.
Now, what do you do over at HPR?
So I'm the primary movement and exercise therapist. So when folks come in with any kind of concussion issue, then I'm going to evaluate and assess what that has done to their movement. And then that involves a lot of systems, not just their physical movement as far as how their joints are moving and how their muscles are coordinating basic movement patterns, but also how that affects other neural systems. So their vision and vestibular systems and what that's doing, what the effect is, what dysfunction might be based on the concussion that they've gotten.
Okay, so after the client goes and sees Dr. Dave, they would come to you and get some actual hands-on training.
Yes, depending on what they needed. And that's there's a larger evaluation that goes on, and Ben, that we'll talk to you in a second, we'll kind of manage that aspect. But depending on what they need, they'll likely come to me to work on some of those issues and get that hands-on training.
And what is your experience? You were in the military, if I understand correctly?
Yes, 20 years in the Army and retired in 2011. That's actually where I met Dr. Grove. We'll talk to you soon. And I worked with him at a small nonprofit here in town working with Wounded Warriors off of Fort Carson, and that's where we really started integrating a lot of these techniques with, at that time, traumatic brain injury.
And what is the certification and education that you have?
So I'm a certified personal trainer, and you've got the experience in exercise science as well as a system called Z-Health. So I'm a master trainer in Z-Health. It's a neurological-based system where we look at an athlete, and we consider everyone an athlete. We look at an athlete's nervous system as the central point from which we determine what's going on and how to either decrease pain, increase performance, or whatever they need.
Yeah, and Z-Health, if I understand correctly, it's not something that's easy to get. It's a very experienced, expert system. It's not just a basic certification.
Yeah, there are several levels, really, of multiple certifications that you have to go through. It was about a 2-year process, I think, for me to get to being a master trainer in Z-Health.
Yeah, it encompasses a lot. It's that next level above just a typical personal trainer. So you guys really know what you're doing over there. So let's check in a little bit deeper. Coach Ben, you've been at the clinic. You are one of the founders. Is that right?
That's correct.
So what do you typically spend your days doing at HPR?
Well, that's a detailed question. There's a lot going on at HPR. And obviously, we can get into a little bit of the details later. But, you know, I manage a lot from a sports management point of view for youth athletes, a lot of developmental movement literacy, concussion, sort of the concussion care manager as well, which is sort of overseeing specific issues like concussions. But there's a lot going on at HPR. So I started a few years back with Dr. Higgins, and ever since then it's just moved on quite nicely.
And you work with a lot of the youth athletes and kids that come through the doors.
Correct. Yeah. Years ago, I've coached for 20 years, and you know, one problem that I identified years ago was there doesn't seem to be an awful lot of resources for an athlete outside of whether it be their high school or their personal trainer or their parents. And so wanting to develop a program where there was resources to help an athlete develop their career and also stay healthy and safe long term was something that was really important to me and I was interested in. So yeah, there's a lot of experience there.
Well, thank you, Ben. And next to you is Dr. Grove Higgins. We've worked together many a times. Dr. Grove, you've helped give me adjustments. So on a personal level, I want to thank you for that. And so I know that you do adjustments and that you're a chiropractor, but you're so much more than that. So please tell us a little bit about your history and what you do at HPR.
Sure. I, along with Coach Ben, Burlinson here, we started HPR because my big passion is performance of the human individual, right? And that's everything from the individual who's an athlete at the desk jockey position or the professional athlete position. And we try to take, and I have always tried to take a look at individuals from the holistic standpoint, look at their performance from, you know, the inside out, their whole body. And so, yes, although I'm a doctor and people come to me for pain and such, what it really comes down to is how is their whole body moving? Because most of the problems that I get to see have been there for a good long time. And, they're not just a shoulder problem, not just an elbow problem, that type of thing. They started a long time ago. It started in their movement, and somewhere along the way, it started to break down. And then they come to see somebody like me. So I get the opportunity to get in there, yes, do the structural work as a chiropractor and a soft tissue specialist, but then start doing the rehabilitative and the performance work to make them better movers and better performers in whatever it is that they do in life.
And tell me about the experience that you had working with soldiers. And was it concussions that you worked with soldiers on?
Well, concussions was one of the things. In fact, we didn't discriminate as to who came into the program. This was LifeQuest Transitions. We started back in 2009, and we actually started working with children before we started working with soldiers. But there were so many soldiers, children with that had or parents were soldiers, and we started working with them, and so we took a chance and created a program to help these soldiers. In the end, we helped over 2,000 soldiers in this program, and in that, we were working with individuals that came from different transitional units down at Fort Carson primarily, where they had all sorts of issues. They had back pain. They had we had amputees, and then many of them had some form of post-concussive type of situation where they were dealing with the brain injury, PTSD, and other things like that. And in the process of that, and using the Z-Health system, and using really good training technique and such like that. That's where we started to see that there was something more going on, that the people that were participating in our program were getting better in all of their therapies, no matter what they were doing. In fact, we got a call from the Warrior Support Center down at Fort Carson, which is neuropsychologists and psychologists and neurologists and such like that. And we got called multiple times saying, we don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing, keep doing it, because your soldiers that are going to your program are getting better faster than any of our others.
So you guys are doing things that are completely different. And I mean, I understand that there's some places out there that are kind of doing what you're doing, but you guys are doing something different to treat concussions. And how does that work? And how do you guys all get together on this as a team?
Well, I think the best place to start is, you know, who comes to see us. We get people that are coming right off the field with concussions at times. But most of the people that we're seeing are people that have been suffering from post-concussive type of issues for many months, if not years in certain cases. And so doing the evaluation and trying to figure out what is the best thing for those individuals is really where we begin to differentiate ourselves.
And, well, we'll dive into it a little bit deeper. And I want to take a quick break here, but when we come back, we're going to kind of take a trip how somebody would come into the clinic and get treated for the concussion protocol from start to finish, from Dr. Dave to Coach Ben to Coach Pat to Dr. Grove Higgins as well. Again, you're listening to Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. We'll be right back.
Under 10 Fitness is social. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Under 10 Fitness.
And welcome back to Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. We're talking to all of the experts over at HPR, the Human Performance Rehabilitation Center here in Colorado Springs. It's on 403 West Garden of the Gods. And let's learn about do you call it a clinic, Dr. Grove? What do you like to call yourselves?
Yeah, we're a clinic, and I think that would be the most apropos terminology, but we like to look at ourselves as a laboratory, a place for individuals to come and explore their performance, whether it's problem related or just performance related, and then from that information help make them better.
Now I'm trying to look at this from a client perspective and just really understand what goes on. So I'm a power lifter and I'm doing my thing, and I have a problem. I call you guys up. How does everything work together?
Well, that's where it's interesting, and that's where I think HPR is very unique in the way that we handle people. When people call, the first person that they're going to talk to outside of the person that answers the phone is Coach Ben Burlinson, who is our manager for all of our concussion-related problems.
Okay. And then from that point, Ben, where do the clients typically go, or how do you assess needs?
Well, that is, it's a very dynamic process. And one thing that has always been our goal from the very beginning is to not treat people in the sort of same fashion that they would get everywhere else. We are avoiding the cookie cutter approach. And so to answer that question, you have to understand that it's very dynamic. So it depends on how long ago they've been injured. Is it an acute injury? Is this something that they're suffering with chronic symptoms? So oftentimes they'll get on the phone, and I will spend some time on the phone with them and then determine who is the most important person that they need to see next. And that just depends on a variety of symptoms. Oftentimes with a concussion, they'll be in Dr. Stevens' office, Dr. Dave Stevens' office, pretty quickly to get cognitive evaluations done and things like that. And then we'll manage a lot of movement literacy and neurophysical items. So they'll come to another side of the house and get those evaluations done. Typically, after that happens, as a group, we will get together and we will assess where that individual is, come up with an individual plan, and then meet with them as a group so that they have a lot of information and go home, make a decision on how to move forward.
And I'm curious to know how you guys are looking at concussions differently than the standard that is set up now. So, Dr. Dave, if I could start with you, how do you guys take a unique approach to this?
Well, I think we're unique in several respects. First of all, our baseline screening that we put a lot of emphasis on is not just a quick test that is used in many high schools and many athletic settings that is used primarily to determine if somebody indeed has a concussion. Our baseline screening looks at five areas of brain function. And so we determine, are there any pre-existing issues that may be independent of any head injury? And I also do a clinical interview, and so find out maybe somebody actually had a concussion when they were 2 or 3 or 5 and never really realized what had happened, and there could even be residual problems from that incident. So we do a comprehensive clinical interview, then we do testing that measures brain function, and then that gives us a comparison in case somebody has a concussion later on.
Now, that's very interesting to know that you could have a concussion at an age where you really don't remember.
Right.
Because I don't remember much before I was 5 years old, and that could still affect me today as a 31-year-old man, something that happened that long ago.
It could potentially, yes.
Now, how do you dive into it with a patient or a client or I guess, a friend by the point that they're in the clinic talking to you?
Right. To start with, really getting a detailed history of, did you ever fall off a bicycle? Did you ever fall from a swing? Did you ever have any kind of head injury? Then also ask about history of childhood illnesses. Some illnesses that include high fevers and that sort of thing can also compromise brain function. So part of our baseline is looking at what's the current level of brain function, and it can lead to a referral back to other parts of the house that there can be some rehabilitation even of those things prior to any formal diagnosis of a concussion.
Now, as I understand it, current concussion protocol is kind of a wait and see, just rest and it'll take care of itself kind of approach. How important is it to actually sit down with somebody like you and actually talk about what happened?
It's very important. We need to know, first of all, diagnose that indeed a concussion did happen, and that's not difficult to make a diagnosis of concussion, but then, what has the concussion done? Concussions affect every individual differently. Sometimes people will have physical symptoms. Sometimes they'll have emotional symptoms. Sometimes they'll have cognitive symptoms like memory and language ability, and sometimes a combination of all of those. So it's not very useful to say, yes, you had a concussion. Well, what does that mean? And how do you start the rehab process? We base the rehab process on the results of our assessment. So when somebody's come in and had a concussion, we will identify you're having memory problems, you're having language problems, you're having attention problems, and begin our rehabilitation, active rehabilitation on those issues.
So it's not this passive approach, which I've been hearing and grew up learning about. Mm-hmm. Now, after they've sat down and talked with you, and you've established that they're okay, and that you know, there's no other damages like bleeding, and that they need some medical attention, yeah, they take a tour through the clinic, I would say, and what kind of happens next as far as the recovery process is concerned?
Well, they'll come and meet with me.
Okay.
And that's really the next step, because, you know, always the challenge with dealing with multiple professionals in a big facility is making sure that everybody is communicating the same thing and that we're all aligned. And so as a concussion care manager, my job and responsibility at that point is to, A, give a lifeline out to the individual that's there, because we find that a lot of people come in and having a concussion, it's a kind of a traumatic thing. And so having somebody that you can call and getting your questions answered without having to spend time waiting on the phone is a big deal. But outside of that, I will typically meet with them and let them know that we've got to get some testing and some evaluation done. Obviously, they've met with Dr. Stevens, and if we need additional information, we'll start to gather that. If not, usually within 12, 24 hours, we get a plan that together, and we can then go to the client and say, hey, these are the things that we need to look at, and this is how we want to move forward. This is roughly what we think it's going to cost you, and then they can go home and they can get us on their schedule and start treating these things.
A very active approach. So in addition to talking with you, you have people go through different drills. I want to know exactly how it is different than current protocol.
So you can't separate the body and the brain. And so looking at a concussion in a dynamic way means that, let's say that you're having emotional problems, whether you're struggling with depression or you're having delayed memory issues, things like that. That may not necessarily be treated or trained with just traditional talk therapy, which is what a lot of people expect. We can go in and we can start doing visual and vestibular drills. We can do movement exercises that actually stimulate the same part of the brain that maybe manages emotional control. So when we say an active approach, we will get into the clinic and we will do movement assessment. We will do balance and coordination. We will do all sorts of vision and vestibular reflexes that will aid in emotional control. And that is a difficult paradigm for people to understand. So that is a very different approach. Of course, again, this is a dynamic process. So to say that that's what we do every time wouldn't be fair. It just comes down to the individual, how old the concussion is, how acute it is, and what specific things they're suffering from.
Yeah, I think it's like Dr. Dave said, it's not a cookie cutter approach. It's an individually based process. Now, as you are starting this, or I don't know about starting, you've been doing this for a long time. Is that right, Dr. Grove?
Yes.
And what has it been like? And are you having any pushback from the traditional way of handling it?
Well, again, going back to what your experience is that for the most part, concussion is handled with a wait and see, a time and symptom management type of approach. In fact, from the Mayo Clinic website, and their description of post-concussion is that post-concussive recovery is a 7 to 10 day process that sometimes can persist for years. And then even furthermore, that oftentimes that a lot of the symptoms overlap with psychological problems. And what we've realized, especially working with Dr. Stevens, is that a lot of these things that would be otherwise considered a psychological problem are issues with an individual having trouble remembering or short-term memory. So take a high-performing student, and that is now having to struggle to remember things that before was easy, or to do math that was easy. They're going to become depressed, but not because it's a psychological problem, but because it's a concomitant of their concussion. And same thing with our athletes, that now their performance is poor because their movement is poor, much less their decision-making on the field. And so it now comes down to, again, going to that individualized approach of finding out all the components and then finding the easiest thing to start working on and to improve, and improving the whole system rather than just waiting for the symptoms to go away. Because the reality is that everybody walks away from a concussion with something that persists. And then that also sets them up for possible reconcussion and exacerbation in the future. Like under the college student that we just worked with that just finished doing her finals, her midterm finals, is under a lot of relationship stress. And she comes back in and she's demonstrating concussion symptoms again without having had another head injury.
Really? So the symptoms can kind of come in and out.
Most definitely. And it's just like any other part of the body. Once you injure a part of the body, it's more susceptible to injury in the future. You roll your ankle, the next time you step on a rock, the chances of you hurting that ankle again are much higher than they were originally.
Now, how big of a problem is this? I mean, you know, in a nutshell, how busy are you guys?
Unfortunately, very busy.
Yeah.
Just in the last 2 weeks, we've taken on 7 new cases, and we're not out advertising this. People are hearing about it and calling us because they have been pointed in a direction that offers some hope and an approach that gives them some say.
Is there anybody else here in town that's doing this?
Not to the extent that we are, no.
Okay, you're very unique and specialized in that way.
Yes.
And if I could just make a follow-up comment on your question about how pervasive or how common is this problem, and related to something that Dr. Higgins said. In some ways, it's very similar to somebody that sprains an ankle. Most people don't adequately rehabilitate a sprained ankle, and then they're left with chronic weakness. And I think what we see every day is people who did not adequately rehabilitate a concussion. And so they've been left with chronic weakness and vulnerability from a brain function perspective, from an athletic and movement perspective, and from a psychological perspective. And so we're working to ensure that people appropriately and adequately rehabilitate that concussion so they're not left chronically vulnerable.
Now, you've all alluded to some of the effects that it could have, but I just want to flat out ask, what are some of the dangers that could come up if you don't actively take this approach to treat concussions?
So outside of the, you know, typical symptoms of headaches, dizziness, fatigue, concentration problems and movement problems and such like that, one of the big things that we see, and Dr. Stevens is very familiar with this, is behavioral issues. Especially with teenagers and everything, the hard part is teasing out what's hormones and what's behavior because of concussion. And oftentimes you can't tease them out, but they still have to be addressed.
Yeah. And I think we can see low motivation, we can see poor school performance, we can see behavioral acting out. And then on the more extreme end, we can start to see substance abuse problems and even up to and including incarceration. I do a fair amount of work with jails and prisons, and a majority of people who are incarcerated have histories of concussions, and most of them were not adequately rehabilitated.
Yeah, the statistics are about 80% have in normal prison populations have had a concussion or brain injury of some sort or another, and 100% on death row.
Really? So there's kind of a connection there.
And, you know, I would add too, Drew, that on to something Dr. Stevens was saying earlier that you commented on, when if you had a concussion when you're 2, 3, 5, you know, it can affect you later on. An interesting study a few years ago, actually done up in Canada, on Canadian football players and hockey players. And so they looked at a population that played collegially, right, in those two sports, and they tracked them, and they took a group that did not have concussions, then they took a group that had one or more concussions in their collegiate years in those sports, tracked them about 30-some years later. So they were in their 50s to early 60s, and then they compared them on several cognitive tests, motor control tests, and those who had concussion had sustained one or more concussions in their collegiate years, even though now 30 years later they presented no issues. They were active. They were healthy. They presented no issues at all. But when detailed cognitive and motor function tests were done, they showed degraded levels of those things, which were indicative of the early onset of Alzheimer's and dementia and things like that.
So sometimes the symptoms aren't readily available to see and diagnose.
Right. Under normal daily function, it's not. But then over the course of years that, like Dr. Stevens said, that there's that decrease, because it wasn't adequately addressed, that decreased level can then manifest decades later.
Wow. Now we're going to actually get to see that kind of firsthand, because you've brought in a client with you that's kind of been through the protocol and he's seen his life drastically change. But before we go to break here, I do want to ask you, Ben, when you see and you're working with kids, have you seen a change in attitude? Because we did talk about how it can affect everything with learning, and you don't know the difference if it's just a teen being a hormonal teen or if they're signs of a concussion. So have you seen that turnaround?
Oh, that's a great question. One thing that that I get the benefit of seeing is, due to the nature of how I work with athletes and the long-term nature of how I work with them, I get an opportunity oftentimes to see an athlete before concussion and after concussion. If I'm managing their career, and I've managed them since they were in eighth grade, and then they end up being a sophomore in high school and sustain a concussion, there is a dramatic difference in behavior, emotional control, movement, and performance in general. So yes, it's sometimes very stark.
Well, that's positive. That's a good note. And Dr. Grove, you want to add something to that?
And I think one of the most immediate effects from a behavior standpoint that we see with all of our clients, whether they're a kid or an adult, is that their confidence level goes up, because now they have control of something. We're giving them things to actively pursue on their own, and we're teaching them the skills of self-assessment. So that way, when they come back, they are an active part of this process. They're no longer a victim. They're no longer just standing by and waiting for something to change. They're actually making change on themselves day to day, and we teach them how to detect that themselves. So that way they can prove it to themselves. You know, we don't want to just come back and say, yeah, I think I'm feeling better. We want to know exactly how is what we're doing changing you, and do you notice it? And by doing that, the individual is much more confident, they become much more compliant, and so then the results, in our estimation, are much greater and much faster than in a traditional setting.
And that's of paramount importance is when you're talking to youth and kids that are already going through all the changes, that they need to have that confidence and be able to know their bodies and themselves just that much more.
Yeah, being empowered to make a change can mean all the difference in performance, especially when youth of today have so many responsibilities, from academic expectations, expectations at home, expectations on the basketball court or the soccer field or what have you. Being able to have some control and knowing what's going on and that they can do something about that then produces an attitude that is very positive, which is very helpful.
And that's a good note. We'll take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk to somebody who spent time working with all of you and knows how the whole process works. So we'll talk more about that. But we're going to take a quick break here on Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ.
Welcome to Under 10 Fitness, giving tips, tricks, and motivation when it comes to health and fitness.
What's up and welcome back to Under 10 Fitness. My name is Drew Smith. I'm a personal trainer, competitive powerlifter. I have a drive and passion for learning more about health and fitness. In the studio, I have a roundtable discussion that we've got going on with all of the folks from HPR, that is the Human Performance and Rehabilitation Center. We've got Coach Ben Burlinson, we've got Dr. Dave Stevens, Coach Pat, and Dr. Grove Higgins. But right now, in the hot seat here, we have a couple clients from the actual center, and they're going to tell us our story, because I want to know what it's like to actually get a concussion and go through it from that point of view. But first, let's get to know you guys. So, Ross, you are an athlete. What's the sport you play?
I'm a competitive soccer goalie.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been playing soccer for forever, ever since I remember. And I have recently been playing goalie since about the age of 11, when we kind of realized that I like to dive and I like to, you know, being a big guy, I like to be all over the place in the air.
And what is one of your favorite things about being on the field and playing your sport?
You know, I think it's a depth of passion that I love the feeling of engagement. The uniqueness of soccer is there's never the same thing that happens twice. It's so diverse. And ever since a young age, it's always been attractive from that standpoint. And then specifically being a goalie, I love leading and I love being in control. And, you know, when that final shot comes down and things come down to the wire, you know, ultimately you're the one standing between the difference of a game. So that pressure and that leadership role was very attractive to me. And that's what later prompted me to pursue it.
And you're playing right now. What team are you on? You want to give them a shout out?
Yeah, I'm playing for the Pride Predator 99. So, yeah, just a great group of guys, and love the coach and what they're doing for the team. So, yeah.
Well, so you actually had a concussion.
Yeah.
And how did that happen? What was that like?
Well, I've actually had like three major concussions over my athlete span or whatever career. And the first one was pretty severe. It was a cold game. Got kicked. A ball came in, and it was a pretty cold ball, obviously, because it was, you know, below freezing in Colorado. And then that hit me in the head, and I went over and I hit my head on the post. Was out for a good amount of seconds, and later went to the hospital. Kind of didn't know what was going on, and so my family and everyone, we assessed it that way, and you know, took some time off, and then was back on the field. I got injured in my freshman year of playing varsity soccer. I was playing on the field because we had a senior goalie, and I got elbowed in the back of the neck. And I think that's the most misconception that people have with concussions, that they go, the only time I'm going to get a concussion is I get hit right in the square forehead. Well, that's not true. I got hit right in the back of the neck with a forceful blow, and I had symptoms of probably a lot more major than my first concussions, just because, you know, it was just another aspect of where to get hit. And then my recent concussion was a year ago of February. So, and that was the worst one. And I had already been told that I was pushing the limit of going concussions, because I had two major, one minor concussion. And so they had already told me, you know, you're kind of looking at, you need to reassess what you want to do, because this is not smart. And so I had already had that in the back of my head, and Then going onto the field, actually 2 games back from breaking my 5th metatarsal, and I had someone, I went over to scoop up the ball as the goalies do, and someone came and kneed me in the head. And then I ended up, being, you know, 6'4", I hit my head, and then I went back all the way and got whiplash and hit my, the back of the head on the ground. So pretty severe. I was out, then for about 20 seconds. And then when I woke up, I knew instantly that this was over, and that my dream, you know, to play collegiate soccer and, possibly pro was over, because that's all that I have been told, is that, you know, you, after you get 3 or 4 concussions, you're done and there's no hope and you need to look to your future.
And your mom has been by your side the whole time, Meredith.
Definitely.
As a mother, and you're seeing your son go through this, and you're a physical therapist yourself too.
Correct, yes.
So kind of being in the industry and knowing mm-hmm. what to do, what was the approach that you took as a family?
Well, after the first 2 concussions, we really didn't go through that much rehab. And now looking back at it, I'm kind of appalled that we didn't. But we didn't really know. And even being a physical therapist, outpatient orthopedics is not my area of specialty. And we really had not been told what all that we could do for his training and rehab after concussions. But it was after that third one that we knew, okay, this is it. Because, of course, concussion is all in the headlines. And how many concussions can someone really sustain and keep going and remember their kids' names at the age of 45? You know, like, how much really does affect them later on down the road? And I was very aware of that and had been reading that type of information and was greatly concerned. In fact, I kind of have a rule that I've never let my kids play football because of concussions. And here he is playing soccer and getting these concussions. It was pretty devastating for our family. We're a soccer family. All 3 boys play soccer. So it was a big deal for us.
And did you just reach out to your primary care physician and say, you know, Ross was injured playing soccer?
Well, after the third one, no, it was different. Because I knew after the third one, I'm like, we've got to do something differently. So we actually did go to a rehabilitation concussion specialist doctor that we saw at that time. And she was very adamant about getting him back to the sport. But she said, we want him to be in top Olympic training condition in order to do that. Well, she referred us down to the outpatient orthopedic kind of physical therapist clinic downstairs within the same building to go do that therapy. And as a therapist, I'm like, no, you know, we're going to find the top balanced physical therapist in town in order to get him some better training. So that took us on the journey of getting physical therapy after the third major concussion. But her opinion at that time was he does not need to go back. She did lots of training with him, great training with him, but she said he does not need to go back onto the field.
So they had some recommendations, but maybe they didn't have the adequate resources for you to achieve the goals that they're talking about, becoming an Olympic level athlete at that training. So how long was this process and how long were you out not playing soccer?
Well, after my last major concussion, we spent about a good 2 months doing that therapy. And that was later though, because there was a little bit of a time span or a little bit of a break, just because I had just been told, no, you don't need to do this. I mean, you want to have a future. And so after being told no from her, you know, I definitely, slipped into depression over the summer. If I didn't have, you know, Lord Jesus as my savior, I don't know where I would be today. I don't know if I would, you know, have taken drastic measures and try to control my own destiny, because that's definitely where I was at. In fact, I mean, I didn't touch my feet in the water for that whole summer. My health went downhill. And then as I kind of accepted this new reality, I, in the fall, was given the opportunity from my club to actually work with kids and to coach younger players on how to be a goalie. And so that definitely was a cool way to stay connected with the sport, as I, you know, was able to train these, you know, 6 all the way to, you know, 12, you know, 15-year-old kids how to play something that I knew, you know, so much about from my, you know, experience from that. And that's what kind of translated into the fall. And then, February came around and we were actually in Arizona. And, my teammates were actually bugging me because they were at a tournament and they, weren't really thrilled with how things were going. And, they've always had a connection with me. And so they were like, hey, man, we want you to come back. Like, what's going on? And I was like, no, guys, I can't. I'm really sorry. But their persistence on, showing that I had value and a purpose on the team, even to a year afterwards, kind of just, made me step back and just go, this is where my passion is. This is where I love it. Otherwise, I still wouldn't be dealing with this. People go through different hobbies and they just wear off. And this was definitely not a hobby because then I turned that and I just said to my mom, I said, mom, if this is just what I need to do, I didn't need to do it. I don't care anymore. I don't care if this is later down the road. I want to play soccer. I have to play soccer just for my sanity. And that's when, she said, well, let's give HPR, a shot. And, this is what I've heard. And let's just get you on that road to heal.
And so you'd heard of HPR before you decided as a family it probably wasn't what you want to do at the moment?
I had met Dr. Higgins back in August when I began teaching barre for some Pilates. And Dr. Higgins and I had had a conversation about concussion rehab. And at the time, I was like, we've made our decision, not really ready to do that. But I took note because Dr. Higgins was definitely a chiropractor that was different. A chiropractor that looked at movement and looked at muscle and looked at soft tissue and wasn't just a chiropractor that did adjustments. He was looking at the whole person just from our conversation and the way that they do concussion training or rehabilitation there at HPR. So I had already had that conversation in August when he said, YOLO, Mom, I'm going back. Of course, I cried a few tears because as a mother, I'm like, oh, heavens, here we go. But that's why I said, okay, fine, you can, but we have to see what they say first, and I want you to go through their protocol first to make that determination if you actually can go back.
So you said yes, but we're going to do it the right way. We're going to do
right.
It safely, and just so everybody knows, YOLO is you only live once.
Right.
I'm impressed you know that, Mom.
Hey, Mom, I'm a teenager. Got to.
So you go over there to HPR. You're working with these guys. What's the recovery and turnaround? And just tell me that story.
It's been pretty phenomenal. He's enjoyed it, first of all. Like, that's been what is really cool. He said, Mom, they have fun over there, but they're teaching me. And these guys don't only just love working with the kids, they love working with each other, and that's really evident. So it's a very team feel. And he comes away just elated with progress he's made, the encouragement, and it's been pretty incredible, the progress that he has made in a very short time since he's been working with them.
So, Ross, are you back on the field, or is that close to in your future?
I actually am back on the field. I have, after a full month of working through therapy, I'm back to, we'll have to see the transition to full contact, but I've definitely been stepped back on the field, strapped on the boots, and I've been playing soccer, which has been really cool. And it's just been awesome to work with these people because like my mom said, it's definitely not a, you're another client, aspect. This is a, you're joining this team and they're dedicating themselves and I have a very close relationship to everyone, but like even Ben, this is not a deal where you're emailing Ben professionally. We're talking about, random things over text of just, are you making sure you're doing your exercises? Like, what's your next time we can come in? No, I don't want you to do that. I want you to do this and let's focus on that. And it's just so inspiring to be around people. I'm looking at going into medicine myself and to see the passion and the inspiration that they all hold is so encouraging and ultimately what drives me to continue, working hard as a student just because these are the opportunities that you can have. You don't have to be a doctor who's boring and stoic. You can be a doctor and a physical trainer who is thrilled to be doing what they're doing and to give back to people and to giving them a hope of returning to whatever they were, stopped doing or whatever they were told they couldn't do.
Now, have you seen the activities that you've been doing in the clinic with Coach Ben translate into the other aspects such as school and curriculum?
It's been phenomenal. I couldn't describe to you a better story because after my concussion going into my fall year of junior year is universally known as a pretty difficult year academically. And, you know, I'm a, you know, an A student, but it definitely pushed me to my breaking point. And I, you know, I had blood, sweat, and tears into every minute that I was spending academically. And I was micromanaging every little bit. I was obsessive over it. I was not well balanced. I was only focused on school, but I was still doing just, I was still getting just A's. Like, it wasn't very, you know, sustaining A's, but I had to work so diligently and to the point of just being miserable. And so since this, it's been incredible because my sensory development has just gone up through the roof, and all the drills that they've been doing have aspects that have completely cut my memory to a point where I can do homework in half the time. And then that translates into getting more sleep. And then getting more sleep translates into being a happier person and then playing better at your sport and being more engaged. So this is not just an aspect of, oh, I'm coming in, fix my concussion, and then you're out the door. No, this is, you're gonna, this is how we're gonna treat you, and this is how we're gonna figure it out. And then those complete, you know, characteristics are not just gonna affect you where you were kicked out of or where you were told you couldn't do. No, this is gonna change your life. And I've luckily been given that second chance to have that second opportunity because it's truly been spectacular.
Well, Ross and Meredith, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story. And we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about some preventative type aspects of and changing the whole way we look at concussions. But before we kick it to break, Ross, I just want to ask you if you could just say something to somebody listening who has a concussion or you know, could in the future, just something inspirational and just say that it could get better. What would you say?
You know, that's a hard one, but ultimately I would say never give up in your passion and your dream because, and I know that's so, you know, universally, you know, thought of, and it's, you know, definitely not unique, but coming from an aspect of living this, you know, I didn't give up. And through those darkest moments of my life, you know, we still sought after the health and the, you know, work that would get me ultimately to that goal. And without that motivation and that passion and that drive, I don't know if I would be here today. So definitely to live your life to the fullest and to give credit to all the people that are in your life and to work accordingly. So, yeah.
All right. So in one word, YOLO.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, thank you again. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back on Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ.
Under 10 Fitness is your show. Email questions to info@under10fitness.com. That's info@under10fitness.com.
And welcome back to Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. I'm kind of going to jump right in because this is the last segment with all the wonderful folks from HPR. You can visit them at cshpr.com. I'm Drew Smith, and I want to touch because I think we might have glazed over the muscular skeletal system and how it is involved in this whole situation. We're talking about concussions, and if you could just touch on that.
Sure. Sure. I mean, real briefly, after any kind of injury resulting in an injury to the brain, there's always some musculoskeletal component, whether it's because their movements have changed or that they incurred whiplash and soft tissue injury around the neck and such like that. And so there is always pain associated with concussion. And so that's at the very base minimum, that's something that you can go after and start making a difference in right now. And in doing so can actually create the environment that makes it easier for the brain to recover.
Now, is that the reflex of the body, like the muscles and the skeletal system reacting to the trauma and compensating?
Well, some of it is just plain, you know, something hit you and injured a joint and sprained the soft tissues and such like that. The other aspect is that after you get hit and the brain is injured, your movement changes. And so now you're starting to incur cumulative trauma one way or the other. And so somebody might come in to see me, particularly that has shoulder pain or whatnot, and it's being driven by a movement problem, not because they tore a rotator cuff or anything like that. And then when we really dig into it, we see, oh, this started happening after they had a concussive incident. And so then we can go back and say, okay, what drove this movement problem? It's the concussion. And right now, that puts us right into the middle of what we've been talking about.
And we've talked about the protocol to treat a concussion. Now, are there any other methods or protocol to prevent a concussion?
Yeah, I think we were talking on the break, and Pat was giving an example of the fact that the first thing is to just get people to acknowledge that there are concussions and that they need to do something about it, that it's not a game changer necessarily. It just puts a pause in there, just like if you rolled your ankle, and that once you get that going, then we can address things adequately and get you back. But if from our perspective, the big payoff is if we can help somebody prevent a concussion from the very beginning. And to that end, yeah, we have some really good ideas and ways for people to do that.
You've got a lot of work ahead of you. You could just put everybody in a bubble, and that way you can't hit anything, right? Problem solved.
Yeah, but then that's not living, and that's what people don't want.
Now, Coach Pat, you were in the military for a long time. Do you think you ever had an injury, or did you ever have a concussion?
I never had a diagnosed concussion, but there's no doubt in my mind that I had probably several levels of concussion. I wrestled and played rugby in college, and then was in the Army jumping out of airplanes and all that kind of good stuff. And so I sustained my share of head knocks for sure.
And did you ever see treatment about it or tell anybody?
I did not. And in being in the position I am now, you know, I realize that when you're younger, right, and nothing can ever hurt you and you're going to live forever, then you want to keep doing whatever it is you're passionate about. And Ross was a great example of one is to keep doing things. And I was always worried about not being able to continue wrestling or continue playing rugby or in the Army career of not going out to do the next training we were going to do or something like that. And you know, in retrospect, it's always easy, but that was clearly the wrong thing to do. And if you can get the right treatment and the right therapy, then you're back on the field or back at the job, you know, really pretty fast. You can address the issues and then come back performing better, actually.
So what are you guys finding would work or discovering or thinking, and how would you approach changing that and doing the preventative work for concussions?
Well, one I think is that's very important is baselining, and that's where Dr. Stevens can talk and Pat can talk to how can we evaluate an athlete or any individual for that matter and find out where they are today, so that way the ability to detect concussion from the very first place is able to be done well.
Okay. So how would that work if we could talk to Dr. Stevens about opening that box up?
Sure. What we would do, or what we do for baseline, is there's a number of baseline instruments that people are familiar with. I think the impact probably being the most common one. And that's a test that's usually given to a group of athletes or students in the summer or prior to the season starting, and they all do it together, and it's not on-field conditions. And really the primary point of that assessment is to determine the difference in scores between the baseline and after an injury to make a diagnosis. But that's not really prevention at all. Prevention is more, we do a more comprehensive assessment. We identify areas of brain functioning, what they're doing now, and then if there's any rehabilitation that's needed prior to an injury, just from all of us have strengths and weaknesses in our brain function. And there can be some areas of weakness or vulnerability that we can address ahead of time that can prevent a concussion from ever occurring in the first place. And so I think that's what I would call primary prevention, that we can help prevent an initial concussion from happening, hopefully. Certainly can't prevent all concussions, but I think that can help. And I think Pat can talk in a minute about some of the things from a physical training perspective that help. But then I think secondary prevention is after the first concussion, like we've been talking about, doing adequate rehab. And I would view that as secondary prevention, meaning we prevent a second concussion or third concussion from happening.
Now, it's easier to get a second or third after you've had one?
Well, that is what the research says, yes. I think something that has not been adequately investigated is if somebody is properly rehabilitated, they may not be vulnerable to a second concussion. I have doctoral students that are doing dissertations on issues related to that. And I think we'll be able to determine that effective rehabilitation prevents future concussions.
And then what would some of the more physical aspects be there, Coach Pat?
Two aspects, really, that we've seen that can help prevent concussions. So one is a strength and conditioning guy that I like, is that you can actually strengthening your neck has been shown to reduce the risk of concussion. And so there have been a few studies out now, and although it seems kind of common sense in a way, there was, until a couple of years ago, there was really no necessarily any valid data on that. But what we see now is that for every pound of strength that you increase in your neck actually reduces your risk of concussion by about 5%. And the reason for that is a lot of concussions are not actually blunt impact like a baseball hitting the skull so much as acceleration damage from the head, like Ross talked about getting hit in the back of the neck, right? Snapped his head forward. Then his other concussion, he was whipped backwards, right? And that acceleration, the brain moves within the skull, and so then it hits on one side, and then as the shock gets absorbed and you move the other way, it hits on the other side. But that acceleration is lessened if you have a stronger neck. So that's one aspect.
Mm-hmm.
The second really big one that's come out recently is vision. And so a study was done with football players, looked at those who did some preseason vision training and then those who didn't. And then concussions were significantly less of those who got concussions later in the season. The ones who had done vision training had a far less incidence of concussion. The reason that is the study kind of looked at what they determined was better awareness, right? So there's vision's a multifaceted thing. It's more than just visual acuity, which is kind of having 20/20 or better or worse than 20/20. There's lots of aspects of vision. And so that better, basically, awareness and visual skills, not only peripheral vision, but also your ability to focally accommodate near, far, quickly. You're just more aware on the field. And that's what the study showed. We also believe that the cognitive increase that you get from vision training, because the vision and working vision training, vision lives all over the brain. So when you do various aspects of vision training, you're stimulating, like Ben talked about earlier, every aspect and every area of your brain, which increases your neural capability. And that alone also can be preventative for concussions.
Is that one of the first things that you work with people on, is the vision aspect of it? Because it just amazes me. Coming from a powerlifting and personal training world, we never touched on vision, never even occurred to me.
Yeah, vision drives performance. We're, we don't smell that well, we don't hear that well, so all of our survival skills are really tied to our ability to see well. And so when vision works better, all of our performance is better because the brain's not working so hard. And so then thinking is easier, remembering is easier, being able to have better field awareness and being able to respond to environmental changes like a ball's coming at my face, improve. And so vision is where we almost always start with all of our individuals, and even people that come in for pain on my side of the house. I look at that because, especially with chronic repetitive motion type injuries, I like getting paid as a clinician as like anybody would. But if I'm fixing the wrong, if I'm fixing the symptom and not the problem, I think that's a bad place for me to be ethically. And so vision plays a very large part in that, in all aspects, but especially with concussion.
Now, we're running out of time, but I do want to make sure that we really focus on your main mission, and that is to change the world. I mean, in a perfect world, you guys would like this to be the new concussion protocol and replace what typically is there.
Yeah, most definitely. It really, to start the discussion, to say there are things that can be done now, even with an acute concussion, that there are things that individuals can do now to start helping themselves. But to say that we can maybe even prevent or at least make people more resilient, that's something that's not being discussed about. Why talk about the problem after it's happened? Why not address it up front? And we'd rather help keep people healthy rather than constantly be fixing them for a problem that, frankly, could be improved upon today.
So this would be a perfect system to put in place with a lot of, I guess, teams and athletes and schools and any kind of, you know, sports out there that, that would really benefit our athletes and our, you know, our people.
Most definitely, and make better athletes.
And I think our the name of our organization, Human Performance and Rehabilitation, we are very interested in human performance. That includes athletically, it includes academically, it includes relationally, it includes occupationally, that we see what we do is enabling people to perform better in all aspects of their life.
So as we're wrapping up here, I just want to give you guys one more opportunity to kind of, we'll go around the table and we'll speak on concussions and what you think that people should know, and then how can I help? What would be the best way to just get involved? So Dr. Grove, what's something that you want us to take away with the concussions and conversation here?
Well, realize that there's always hope. And so even if you have a concussion, there are things that you can be doing today to help yourself. And I don't care how old that is. And so let people know that there are things to be done and that there's people that are talking about empowering them and giving them the tools that they need to be the whole person that they can be after a concussion. And then I guess secondly is actually be active. Don't ignore problems, because when you ignore problems, they build up and they become bigger than what they were before. And you're just making life more difficult for yourself. And we'd like to help.
Thank you. And Coach Ben, what do you want to say about concussions?
You know, the same thing. There's hope out there. Every day see athletes that have given up because they're not aware of the resources that are available. So don't give up. As Ross said, keep going and find a way and recognize that some of the problems that maybe a concussion has caused are not something that you have to live with indefinitely. And of course, on top of that, get a baseline. Get a baseline test that is effective, that can be used not just now, but 10 years from now, that is clinically validated and can be repeated over and over again. So get a good baseline.
Could we get a baseline at your clinic?
You certainly can.
Okay, perfect. So not only do that, but now there's a resource for that. So I love that. So you can go to HPR. Again, I'll give all the information to that. But we're continuing around the table. Coach Pat, what would you like to finish on with concussions?
I'll just reiterate what we're just talking about with the prevention, really, is that you know, if you're an athlete and you're in a contact sport, there are things you can do that don't take a huge amount of time, right? And that are not that difficult, but that can significantly decrease your risk for concussion. And that's what we've built.
And I've got a follow-up question for you, just because you spent so many years in the military. If you had to do it over again, would you have just said, hey, I think I got a concussion, guys, and kind of reach out for some treatment?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, like I said, it's always easy in hindsight, but especially knowing what I know now and where we work here at HBR and the things that this group is doing, it can just be a tiny bump in the road where you set yourself up for more success in the future.
Well, thank you. And Dr. Dave Stevens.
Well, the one thing I would add is the historic view of concussions has been there's something that happened, they're unavoidable, and there's not much you can do about them. I think our approach is different, that we believe prevention, rehabilitation, and recovery are all very possible, and that's what we bring.
Well, thank you very much again for joining me. Should anybody want to learn more about you guys and get in touch, what's the best way to reach out?
Well, there's two main ways. Go to the internet, of course, and go to cshpr.com and look up information there. And there's information on concussions there. In fact, we'll have information from today's show on there as well. Or call our front desk at 719-225-4949. And at the minimum, ask for information. Come in and talk with Coach Burlinson and see what can be done for you.
And we did spend a lot of time talking about concussions, but you've got a whole office full of experts, and you can help with many other things. You've got a physical therapist. You've got a massage therapist in-house as well. You've got the Sun Pilates studio down below you. So anybody who, you know, aches and pains, Maybe not just concussions. There's a lot of resources you guys offer as well.
Yeah, if you want to move well without pain and optimally, so that way you can live life to its fullest, whether it be on the field or around the house because you got kids to run after or whatnot, that's what we're here to do. And really, Dr. Stevens put it well. We're all about performance, and pain is easy. Performance, that's where it's at.
Well, thank you very much again, and I've spent a lot of time working with you guys. One of the things that I love that you do is you give me resources and you teach me how to take care of my body so I don't always need you. I like you guys, and I'll be around forever, but I don't always need you. I can go out into the world and take care of myself. So again, for Dr. Grove Higgins, Coach Ben, Coach Pat, and Dr. Stevens, I'm Drew Smith. This is Under 10 Fitness. As always, remember, stay motivated.